Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladi Longo podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy. A 14-year-old boy wrote in his journal, "I am super excited today. I played football with the first team and it was amazing. I hope to play more and score more goals to help my team. One day, I hope I can play for the national team and make the people I love smile." He was so loved by his community and everyone loved him because he had amazing ability, more especially in football. When he jumps into the football field, everybody knew that something magical is about to happen. He was amazing. He was brilliant, skilled, and highly talented. But one day, things changed. He woke up as he always does, but somehow he could not feel the sensation in his arm. Wondering what is going on, he could walk, but somehow he could not feel his feet. His arms and his feet felt numb. And because he could not explain what was going on, he chose to stay home for a couple weeks. And after a few weeks, his body begins to disfigure. His fingers begin to fall off one by one, and his toes begin to fall off one by one. He goes to the doctors to explain his situation and what's going on, and the doctors say, "Sorry, there's nothing that we can do. The people like you do not get the help they need. There's no cure for what you're suffering from. We cannot give you the help that you need. In fact, what this means is that people like you lose their body limb after limb. This is not like any other disease. This disease is so contagious, it's so deadly. There's nothing that we can do." And the doctor said to his parents, "You know what? If he's not isolated from your family, not only him, but even you, your entire family will be a danger to our community. You need to get him out of your family, out of this city." Immediately, he has to go. Word did travel fast of this disease, this strange thing that has happened to this boy. And as they were going home, they were met with a group of protesters. Sadly, some of the protesters were the friends he had played football before. Sadly, some of the protesters were some of his teachers. Sadly, some of the protesters were friends he had made in church, in his small groups. And all of them were holding placards written, "Get the leper out. Get the leper out. Get the leper out." In that moment, he could not believe what he was hearing or what he was seeing. The very same people that have cheered him on, now they are jeering and scorning him. And he feels the rejection of the people he looked up to. He feels the rejection of the people he thought loved him, or the people he thought he loved. Fast forward, his parents had no choice but to take him out of the city. Fast forward, it's now been over a decade. He has been living all by himself in an isolated space. His dreams that he had as a 14-year-old boy of playing football, even playing for the national team, all of them shattered into pieces, and now it's gone. It's been over a decade now that he has had human contact. It's been over a decade now that he has had a meaningful conversation, until one day, a man called Jesus had a conversation with him. We're gonna read this story together in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. If you can, I wanna ask you to stand as we read this passage together. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his feet to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." God, we thank you for you to reach out to us, even when we are very, very far away. You, God, are good. May you speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have your seat. Ever felt like you were on the outside? Ever felt like, you know, everyone else knew what's going on in this space but you? Ever felt left out? Or have you ever felt like you're not actually needed in this space? Have you ever felt like, you know what, you have tried your best, but somehow your best is not good enough and you do not feel needed in this space, and somehow you are left out. Somehow you do not made the cut. Now, the reality is that every single one of us has experienced rejection in one way or another. You know, every single one of us. It's not a matter of like if rejection happens. Actually, when it happens, rejection will happen. And at whatever stage of life, you know, we are denied things in our own lives so many times. Rejection does happen. And we do experience rejection so many times. Some of you, maybe you had hoped to get into a certain school, but you got that automated letter. We regret to inform you. And you could not get in. You were rejected. Some of you hoped to get a certain job, but you got a rejection letter. You were rejected. Some of you hoped to get into a certain relationship, and you were rejected. Some of you hope to get into, a team or a sport of some sort, and you were the last one to be chosen to be on the team. I remember I was the last one to be chosen on the team. The only time I was guaranteed to play if the football was mine, then we knew, like, okay, today I'm gonna play, because if I'm not getting in, no football for you guys. But all of us have actually experienced rejection in one way or another. And there are healthy ways that we can deal with the rejection, but there are also unhealthy ways that we can deal with rejection. And often, when we are rejected, one of the negative ways that we respond to rejection is we go into a building mode where we begin to build fortresses around us. You know, we begin to build walls around us where we want to protect ourselves so that we never ever find ourselves in a space like this ever again. So you find yourself building these fortresses and not allowing anybody else to come in, and you want to just protect yourself. You don't want anybody else to get in. You don't want to give your heart to anybody else. You don't want to find yourself in a space that you can be rejected. So you're going to build fortresses. And some of us maybe go into a self-pity mode where we just, you know, we're full of self-pity, that we're wondering like, you know what? I know why I'm rejected, because I'm this bad. I know why I'm rejected is because I'm not good enough. I know why I'm rejected is because nothing works for me. God hates me. The people hates me. I'm not good enough. So you enter into this self-pity mode. Some of us actually go into a destroying mode. So we become bullies. You know, you've been rejected and you're like, you know what? I'm going to show you what I can do. You know, so you become a bully in the end and you seek revenge. I'm going to show you. If you have rejected me, I'm going to show you that you have made a mistake. So I'm going to revenge. And these are just some of the ways that we respond to rejection. And often in all of these, what we are trying to do is we are trying to hide. We are trying to protect ourselves. We are trying to say, you know what, I want to be safe. We want to feel safe. But as we are dealing with rejection, if we are asking the question today, can my rejection be fixed? Can my rejection be fixed? And I want you guys to remember this. If you actually do not hear anything, I want you guys to remember these statements. Your rejection does not go beyond God's ability to accept you. Your rejection does not go beyond God's ability to love you. Your rejection does not go beyond God's ability to heal you. Your rejection does not go beyond God's ability to cleanse you, to make you whole, to restore you. Your rejection cannot go beyond God's ability. It cannot go beyond God's ability. So today, I just wanted us to just look into this story. I just wanted us to just, you know, kind of like focus on one way that we can respond to rejection. I'm just looking into what this story says. So first of all, to just kind of like let you guys know, this disease called leprosy, there was not much known about this disease. And, I don't know if some of you have seen people that have leprosy. If you have not seen, thank God, that's a good thing. But if you have seen, you know, I have seen people that have suffered from this disease. You know, they lose limbs if it's not treated. They lose, I've seen people that have lost fingers and toes. And, you know, your body can be disfigured. It's a horrible disease. But what even was made horrible about this is that the people that suffered from this were actually taken out of the communities because they were attempted to be unclean. They were said, you know, these people are unclean and therefore they have to go outside the city. They were separated from the community. So imagine you're suffering physically. Now imagine the emotional turmoil you're going through as well. Imagine the pain you have physically, but imagine the pain that you have as well as you've been separated from the people you love, from the life you have known, as you're separated from the things that you have known all of your life. It's all gone. You're out there by yourself. And one condition was that if you're going to at all find yourself walking in the city or find yourself walking close to people, you were supposed to be shouting and you have to be saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. And then the people will have to see, all right, that person is unclean. Let me not get close to them. That's how you're supposed to live. Imagine right now, this morning I was just looking at my phone. On the iPhone, I don't know if it's happening on Androids, but on the iPhone you have a notification. I've forgotten the name, but a notification that kind of like says it will give you notifications if you have come into close contact with somebody with COVID. Yeah, I don't know if your phone is probably checked, like in settings, you might see this on your phone. Just coming from Australia, there is actually an app that you can put on your phone, and it can somehow alert you if you got into a space that, you know, somebody had COVID. So imagine, you know, that technology aside, but now you are actually shouting, yeah? COVID, COVID, and then people are running away like, oh, Humphreys has COVID. Let's run away from this. This is what's going on. Yeah? This is what's going on. People have to be shouting that I have this. I am unclean. I am unclean. By the way, I'm not, I need to mention this. I'm not equating people that have COVID to be unclean. Let's just, or somebody that has suffered from this. I'm just giving that as an example that you can relate to. Just let me take that out. But the people that had leprosy were shouting, unclean, 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 so that people do not come close into close contact with them. So this person has been living all isolated all by himself. And then there was one time, there was one moment that he's like, you know what? I'm not actually going to shout, but I'm going to run towards this person. And it was when he encountered Jesus. It was when he met Jesus. I mean, there should be something that he had heard about Jesus Christ for him to run towards him. So he goes towards Jesus and he says, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his feet to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The one challenge that I want to give us, or maybe the one way that we can respond to rejection that I wanted to invite us on, is to dare to ask again. To dare to ask again. When you have been rejected, when you have felt the rejection, dare to ask again. Dare to ask again. Dare to take a risk. Take a risk and ask again. Because as we see in here, is that often when we have felt rejected, we don't want to ask again. We don't want to dare again. We don't want to risk again. We want to be separated. We don't want to experience anything deeply at all. We want to separate ourselves. But if you're going to experience the move of God in your life, you need to risk again. If you're going to experience the move of Jesus Christ in your life, you've got to risk again. You've got to dare again. So this is what verse 12 says. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his feet to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." You know what's happening here? This man is actually risking another rejection. That's kind of like what happens. You know, when you've been rejected, you don't want to dare to ask again. But if you're going to dare again, you are risking to be rejected as well. So he risked it because Jesus Christ could have said, "I am willing, but." And I am willing, but sorry, not today. I am busy. Not today, I don't want to attend to that. So he risked that. He did risk another rejection, and he has experienced rejection after rejection, and he goes and asks Jesus, and he risks a rejection. But if he's going to experience God deeply, he has to risk again. If we are going to experience God deeply, we must risk again. Now, some of us might be actually struggling or wrestling with the question, okay, if I actually risk again, but is God willing? Is Jesus willing? Because that's what this man said. If you are willing, make me clean again. We can see our lives and all we see is rejection. We can look at our lives and all we see is failure and mistakes. And we might be wondering, I'm not sure if Jesus is willing. I don't know if Jesus, you know, is willing. Is he willing? Can he make me clean? Is he willing to touch me? Is Jesus Christ willing to come close, to come closer to me? Is Jesus Christ willing to forgive me? I'm such a mess. Is he willing? Is he willing to forgive you? Maybe some of you know that, you know what? I know that God is willing. I know that God is willing. But I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can. Because Jesus Christ could have said, I'm willing. You know, I am willing, but I'm not going to do it right now. So I know he might be willing, but I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can make me clean. I don't know if he can heal me. I don't know if he can make me whole again. Or maybe you believe that actually he is willing, but also he can. But maybe you might struggle with, can he do it for me? Can he do it for me? You know, I believe that God will do miracles. He's the God of miracles. He has done for that person. He has done it for that person. But I'm wondering if he can actually do it for me. So you can be in that space. But today I want to encourage you guys that you can dare once more, that you can risk it once more because Jesus Christ is willing. Jesus is willing. Jesus is so willing that he's going to come closer to you. Jesus Christ is so willing that he comes close to those that are broken. Jesus Christ is so willing that he will not let anything else get in the way of the broken and him. He's going to remove it, including the very same thing that has separated you from society or the people that you love. He's not going to let anything come on his way to reaching to you, to those that are broken, to those that need his help. He is more than willing. Jesus Christ is willing to extend his hand. He's willing to extend his hand. He is willing to touch. He's going to touch you. So you mean he's going to touch me even before I am clean? Yes, because he's the one that makes you clean. So he's going to touch you even when you are unclean. But can Jesus do it? Of course, he's more than able to do exceedingly above all you can ask or even ever imagine. Jesus Christ can heal. Jesus Christ can restore. Jesus Christ can rescue. Jesus Christ can mend. But is he going to do it for me? Of course he will. Of course. Are you going to humble yourself just like this man who falls to the ground at the feet of Jesus and know I am helpless? If I am not touched by Jesus, I'm going to remain the same. But I see the need of him in my life. So I will lay myself down at his feet. So Jesus Christ will. One thing that the rejection does is that rejection shakes the very foundations of our identity. We begin to see the failures to be all what we see, all who we are, that I'm a failure, I'm a mistake, I'm unable, so therefore it means I am this. But for us, one way that we can curb rejection is that in daring to risk it, we are beginning to realize who we are in God. We're beginning to realize who we are in Jesus Christ. So, Jesus welcomes you, and he calls you his own. You belong to God. You might be feeling rejected. Maybe some of you, it's a recent thing that you have experienced, either in your own family. People have said some crazy things about you, and they didn't give you a space to defend yourself, and you're feeling like you are now on the outside. Jesus Christ welcomes you into his presence. You might be here this week and just feeling like, I am very far from God right now. But Jesus Christ welcomes you. And if you say yes to him, he'll take care of you. He'll say, my daughter, my son, you belong to me. I love you. I love you. And he is willing to touch you. So, Lord, are you willing? The answer is yes. Lord, can you do it? The answer is yes. Will you do it for me? The answer is yes. Let's pray together. If there are people in here that are feeling like, you know what, God has been asking me to follow him for a long time, but I have not been sure about this Christian thing. If you're here either online, or maybe you're in this very building and you are yet to give your life to God, you are yet to offer yourself into the presence of Jesus, maybe we can just pray together this morning. So pray with me. You can either repeat or just say something like this. Lord, I feel far from you, but I want to dare to ask, will you forgive me? Please, Lord, touch me. Please, Lord, forgive me. Please, Lord, heal me. Please, Lord, rescue me. I thank you, Jesus, for in your arms I am welcome. In your arms I'm welcome. In Jesus' name. Now we are continuing to pray. I want to ask you guys to stand. And as I was just saying that rejection does shake the very foundations of our identity in God. Now there are things that God says that are true about you, that you belong to him. And I want us to shout out these things this morning. So whatever maybe you find, or maybe in this season you are finding difficult to believe, something that God says, this is true about you. Something that God says, this is who you are if you have put your faith in God. Whatever that is, I want you to shout it out. And don't mind the chaos. This is good. Don't mind the chaos at all. So you can say, you can just say whatever that is. I am, just maybe do a statement, I am. You know, I am this. I am loved, for instance. I am forgiven, for instance. I am accepted, for instance. Are you guys willing to do that? Can we do that together? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, go. I am. Yes, I am accepted. I am loved by God. I'm loved by Jesus. Embraced by Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I am loved by Jesus through and through. You are loved by Jesus. You are accepted by Jesus. Jesus is more than willing to touch you. He's more than willing to welcome you and to embrace you and to say, you are mine. Jesus Christ will never forsake you. He is for you and he's never against you. He's right here with you. Now we're going to worship God
together. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilongwe podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilongwe YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.